Before I get started in the word, I want to share this morning. I finished a 21-day challenge on YouVersion. And if you have a smartphone and if you can get on YouVersion, I really encourage you to. It's such a wonderful way just to have the word of God right at your fingertips. Most of us now have a smartphone, and YouVersion is on every platform. And this morning, I finished my 21-day challenge on living a thankful life. And when I opened it up, I really broke down, because today's challenge was to be thankful for your home church, for that body of believers that you get to love on, that they get to love on you. And I just cried because of all the sweet, wonderful, wonderful people that we get to call family here at Solid Rock Church. And if you're watching us online and you don't live close to here, hi Thailand. I know we have people. It's at night and they're watching us. And I hope that we can get over there and give you guys hugs shortly. But we encourage you, if you're close enough, come on in. We still give hugs, and we still love one another in a very, 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 very real way. In fact, that's what our motto is. It's loving God in a real way. We're real people, and we are serving a real God. That's what we're about. So I would like to thank Cindy also last week for sharing going to the mat. And I'm gonna touch on a few things. I got to watch her. I got out of school and I jumped on there and I watched it and I went, dang, she's good. You know, isn't she? She's really good. And I thought, wow, maybe I better start looking for another job. You know, no, she is. She's such a blessing, such a teacher, and she loves the word as she digs in. And I know that word blessed me, and I'm sure it blessed a lot of you just right here. You know, at Solid Rock, a lot of people that we touch online, we had a lot of neat comments like, wow, that was amazing. I needed that. And don't we need that? Don't we need to know that we can go to the mat with God in those times, you know? And we're going to kind of launch from that. Today, we're going to talk about what it means when you just are without words. Have you ever just been to a place where you're without words? Okay. I mean, sometimes, you know, you're too shocked. You're too overjoyed. Okay. Something is just too funny. You just don't have words. Cindy had one of those incidences yesterday. We were down in Rapid City and I came out of one of the bigger shopping centers and I had some stuff in my cart and the wind was blowing 90 miles an hour. Okay. And she's laughing already. She doesn't have words. And I'm just on a mission to find the car. And I zeroed in on a red car and I went out and I saw that it wasn't our car. And then the first thing that came to my mind is, Cindy moved a car. No, it wasn't. My first thing was like, oh no, that's not the shopping cart. So she's in our car watching this. And she's talking to Kelsey. They're both laughing so hard, they're about ready to wet themselves, okay? And she can't call me. She's honking the horn, and I hear this horn, and I'm looking around, and she's just, by the time I get to the car, she was just destroyed. She was without words. She said, you never get lost. I go, well, I'm glad I could entertain. But sometimes we're overjoyed. Sometimes we're over grief. Sometimes we're hurt. Sometimes we're disappointed or we're surprised and we just don't have the words, right? I think that that's better than when we do have the words and they're not the right words. I'm guilty of that. I'm somewhat impulsive and sometimes I just open my mouth before my brain is engaged, you know? You know, it's not having our hearts guided in a right manner. Okay, when we don't have words, sometimes God is guarding our heart and he's keeping our mouth shut. But sometimes when we have words and they're not guided right, Proverbs 4:23, and we may touch on this in a week or two, but Proverbs 4:23, I thought I'd bring this up. It says, above all else, guard your heart, because today that's what we're going to talk about. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth and keep corrupt talk from your lips, okay? When we have the wrong words, the right words or no words, God says we have a condition of the heart. Something in our heart has to change. If we're so hurt, so grieved, or so overjoyed, okay, sometimes when you're overjoyed, you just got to take a pause because you can't express. She could not express how funny I was out there wandering around like a lost puppy. Sometimes you're so hurt, you can't express with words, and your heart needs to catch up. You see, last Sunday, Cindy taught about going to the mat, and it's where we go when we are waiting on God, when we're wrestling on God, when maybe we're trying to do or go someplace we shouldn't, and God says no, okay? We go to the mat, okay? And there, as she taught, we are changed by God. Our heart is changed. See, Jacob's name was changed, okay, to Israel, from trickster to exalted father. I mean, he was changed. His heart was changed. His mind was changed. So what happens if we get to the mat, and maybe Jacob, maybe he was here. We get to the mat and we just don't have any words. You get to the mat and you're like, I got nothing to say, God. I got no words. Usually we get to the mat, we have all kinds of words. And God has to wait for us to give him our words and get run out. And then he listens and he goes, okay. And sometimes when he speaks to us, then we don't have any words. But what happens when we're so used up, when we're so tired, when we're so frustrated, we just don't have any words? Well, what happens, okay? When you are without words, God can start working miracles in your life. He really can. And I know this to be true. Cindy and I have been there very many times. We've just been without resources, without words, without anything except God to hold on to. And we just backed up and we just said, okay, God, we're without words. It's yours. So what do we do when that happens? See, when we're without words, we start listening. When we're without words, maybe we start following his words or his word. So when we're out without words, here's something that you could do. I'm just going to look at two things this morning that we can do if we're without words. The first one is this. When you're without words, surrender to the touch of the Holy Spirit. So many times when we're without words, when we've drawn in, when our spirit is hurt, when our emotions are hurt, when our body is hurt, what do? We just become a recluse, you know? And we're not supposed to be monks. We're supposed to be ministers, you know? But we want to just close up. And we want to close up to the touch of the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do when we're without words is we need to surrender to the touch of the Holy Spirit. Just go to God and admit to him, God, I've got nothing left. I've got no words. I've got no resources. I've got no solutions. And then let God into your heart. You see, we do that when we come to Christ. I remember when I surrendered my life to Christ, it's the most amazing, monumental thing that ever happened in my life. It was life-changing. I can't even explain it. It was just like, wow. All of a sudden, I opened my eyes and I could see things I never saw before. I could feel things I never felt before. And I quit feeling things I never wanted to feel before. Guilt, shame, burdens. Well, we have to continue to go to him. We need to continue to let the Holy Spirit touch our heart. We need to surrender our hearts to the touch of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep doing it over and over and over. Every time we need it, we need to do it. Because if we don't go to God and let him touch our heart, we're going to close up our heart and we're going to create layers of protection. And the more layers we have, the harder it is to get rid of those layers. We need to let the Holy Spirit touch our heart. Next week, we're going to talk about how he touches our heart. This week, we're talking about what we need to do. And we need to let him touch our heart. When we are at a dead end, when we have nothing left, when we have no words, you know, when we are so overjoyed by what God is doing and have no words, we just need to stop and let him touch our heart, because he will heal you of your hurts and he will expound the joy within you to grow even more. If you just turn right around and give, Paul says it over and over, that all through the New Testament, in the Old Testament, David, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice, rejoice. He says, you've got that joy in the Lord. Keep fueling the fire of joy. But he also says that if you are hurt and wounded, and if you have problems, you can go to him. I want us to go to Romans 8:26 and 27, where it says, In the same way, Paul is talking about, or the writer, some people say it's Paul, some people, I think it was Paul. I think he was in Rome, and I believe he was writing to the Romans. And he says this, he says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. We are a Spirit-filled church. And a lot of Spirit-filled churches isolate this to, well, when it gets really bad, you just pray in tongues. Well, what if you don't have the gift of tongues? I believe that this scripture means more than just that. Yeah, if you have that gift, just pull back. But it's not talking about you groaning. It's not talking about you praying in a language you don't. It's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, praying, okay, with groans that words cannot express. And one time I asked a pastor about that, because he was talking about that. I said, don't you think, and you know, if I'm ever off track, please come and tell me I might be off track, because we'll dig into it. I've been off track many times. And we'll dig into it. I want to know that, hey, I'm not preaching something that's just concrete, solid, the word. And I went to this pastor and I talked to him about it. And he said, wow, you are so right. That is the Holy Spirit praying for us, interceding for us. And he changed, because he taught on the gifts of the Spirit, and he changed it. And I remember visiting with him, and I remember studying this out and finding something out that I have really been, I guess, for lack of a better word, I've kind of failed you in not maybe teaching this sooner. I can't remember the last time I taught this, and it's very important, okay? Number one, when you're without words, surrender the touch of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And what is the weakness that he helps us in? We don't have words. We don't have words. We don't know what to pray for. We are without words. Most of the time, we want God to give us the words to pray, right? We want him. We go to God and say, okay, God, what am I supposed to pray? I don't have any words. Have you ever done that? Come on, let's be real. We've all done that. Okay, I don't have the words to pray. But you want to know something? This scripture says we need to give our hopelessness, our wordlessness to the Holy Spirit and let him pray. Let him intercede. Do you feel a little more comfortable with that word intercession? That he's going to intercede for you? Because the next thing I'm going to say is something that I've not taught a long time, and please forgive me. But the next thing is, number two, when you are without words, ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you. Does that feel a little weird? No, to some people it does not. Other people are just like, wow, the first time that I was told that I could call God Father, I went, I'm not sure I can do that. And in fact, I had a mentor, he's passed away now, and when we'd pray, he would call God Daddy. That really was uncomfortable for me. And sometimes when people find out that they can go to the Holy Spirit and say, will you please pray for me? It's like, well, will you intercede for me? The scripture says intercession, intercede, okay? When you are without words, ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you, because Romans 8:26 is very clear. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, our wordlessness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself, our personal God, our Father God, that God that we can call Abba Father, Daddy, that God prays for us through the Holy Spirit that he has sent to live within us, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God in us. And it says he himself, he prays for us. He intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That word in the New Testament, that Greek word, okay, it means literally to step in for, to make a petition for, to basically be a defense for, and to go before the authorities that something needs to be changed for. I don't know about you, but when I'm praying, that's what I do. When I'm praying for somebody else, how many of you have ever asked somebody to pray for you? How many of you have prayed for somebody else? You are interceding for them. They are interceding for you. And this scripture says that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. He's praying for us all the time. Not just when we don't have words, but when, you know, things aren't going quite our way, or things are going our way, he's like, oh man, please, Lord, you know, I want to be there. I want to be their counselor. I want to be their guide. I want to be all of these things. The Holy Spirit is there right in the middle of everything we are, everything we do. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He reaches down into the depths of our heart and he sees what is there. And he takes what we need to the throne of God and he says, this is where they're at, Father. This is what they need. I love it. When I ask people in the church body, when I ask friends and in the body of Christ to pray for me, I love it because I know that I'm being covered. But I'll tell you what, the first time I looked at this and I thought, I am really being covered. You guys pray really, really good, but you don't hold a candle to the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's got a market on it. He's got audience with God. We have audience with God through Christ. But he is God. And so I encourage you to start looking at this a little bit differently, even if it makes you feel uncomfortable. When you get to that place, you say, okay, God, I know, Holy Spirit, you're interceding for me. Now, it's one thing. This is why I like to point this out. This is why it is important, okay? Let's just say, for example, that in the past somewhere, some of my children or grandchildren weren't exactly where I as the father or the grandfather wanted them to be. And I would be interceding for them even though they did not know it. But how much more effective and powerful it is if they come to me and they say, hey, Dad, hey, Papa, will you pray for me? Boy, then we're in it together. Do you see that is what God really wants us to do? He wants us to be in it with him together. He wants us to be aware that he is there. He is there. He is there as the Father. He is there as the Son, our Savior. He is there as the Holy Spirit, who is the intercessor. He's there. And he wants us to get involved. He wants us to be aware. He wants us to embrace his activity in our life. James 5:16, it says, therefore, confess your sins, and I put faults because the King James Version says faults. I'm doing this for a reason. To each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. And that Greek word is made whole. And the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Once again, so many times we teach on a scripture and we just single it out and say, this is a prayer for healing. This is a prayer for wholeness. Because that word healing, it means healed, it means whole. Zoso, it means the entire, it's another word. There's one word that says it means wholeness. It's in the Greek. This is another word that also means wholeness. And so what James is saying here is that confess your sins, confess your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may heal, so that you may be made whole. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I want to add to that, the power of the Holy Spirit is even more powerful and effective. The intercession of the Holy Spirit in your life is very powerful. I mean, you see things happen in the body of Christ through prayer that are amazing. But God is more amazing. Now, you might be thinking at this point, looking at this, you know, if you confess your sins, faults, you might be saying, but Lord, it's not so much about sin. And this what I'm about to say does not let us off the hook for confronting and owning any sin in our life. Okay. But you're saying, okay, Pastor, I just don't have words. I'm at the end of myself. I'm at the mat. I want God to give me something. I want God to tell me something. I'm just without words. You see, in the Greek, that word, King James does it better. It means false, which means this, a side slip. How many of you have had a side slip off the sidewalk, right? You know, you might not hit the ground, but you about break your neck or your ankle, okay? A side slip, okay? A lapse. How many of you have had a lapse and got lost in a parking lot in the last week, okay? How many of you have had a lapse? A deviation, and those lapses, deviations, side slips may be unintentional or intentional. You see, this word covers faults, things that we might not have any power over. I mean, people do things And we are in the wash of that effect. And that's what it's talking about. Or this word can also cover a willful transgression, which is, go ahead and say it, it's sin. Okay. So God is saying to us through James, he says, confess these faults. Confess it when you have a side slip or when you really don't know what's going on. Maybe when you want something to change, maybe when you know you need change. So go and ask for prayer. The Holy Spirit is already interceding for us. He wants us to be just like that and come say, okay, I know that you're interceding for me. I know you're there. I want to be involved in it. I want to embrace it. Because sometimes we're not all in. Sometimes we say it with our words, but maybe our heart and our actions haven't quite, you know, come in to play. And God says, I want you to be all in. You see, it is so powerful when we ask God to be all in, when we ask him to be there because we embrace it. What we're saying is God's already in it. But what we're saying is, Lord, I'm willing for you to be all in. And a lot of people say, boy, I don't know if I could ask God to intercede for me even more. Yeah, you can. Is it scripture? Yeah, Luke 11, 9 through 13. Luke is talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And before he talks about that, he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What we are literally saying to God, so we're going right back to Romans 8:26, and we're saying, God, I know that you, through the Holy Spirit, I know the Holy Spirit is interceding for me. I want more. I don't have words. I don't have a solution. I don't see a way out. Or Lord, I am in a place right now where your blessing is so abundant and I see you moving. Lord, I can't believe that your grace is so abundant to me. Either way, God says it's okay to come to me and say, Lord, Father, I want more. I want more. Because if we don't embrace the things of God, if we don't go all in, we're going to get stalled. And once we get stalled, those layers of protection, those layers of hurt, all those layers, all those things that can hinder us and to, can stall us and can just destroy us, they start surrounding us. God says, I want you to be all in because I'm all in. So I encourage you this week, go past just being a saved Christian into the area where you are now a Christian that is being interceded for. Embrace it. Say, God, I don't know where to go. I want more. God, I'm so blessed. But Lord, I want more. And either way, it's not going to get easier. It's simple, but it's not easier. In fact, it might get a little harder, but you want to know something? With the blessing, okay? With the blessing comes that power and that anointing to walk in it and to grow in it and to improve in it. Just like God has given us sunshine and water and food and all the things we need to grow, he gives us all the things we need to spiritually grow. So I encourage you to embrace it. This morning, I'm gonna pray for us. This prayer is on everybody's bulletin. If you want to grab a bulletin throughout the week, you can pray this prayer yourself. But I'm going to pray something that God really put on my heart. And then we're going to turn the service over to Cindy. Father God, we come to you. And when I am on the mat without words, Lord, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to intercede for me.
And Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and you pray over us. I pray, Lord, that you would use those groans that words cannot even express. And Lord, I give you permission for your prayers to speak to the very depths of my heart. Father God, that's our prayer this morning. We just want to embrace. We want to embrace the Holy Spirit's interceding for us, over us, and in us. We want to embrace it. And Lord, we're here to say, we want more. Lord, I pray that we never, ever, ever cease asking you for more, because you are the God of endless love. You are the God of endless everything. You are the God of grace, who wants us to step into more in our relationship with you, step into more in sharing the love of Jesus around us, step into more in growing in the graces and the gifts and the knowledge and all of the things that you have for us. Lord, you want to give us more. So Lord, I pray that we would be all in and embrace your intercession. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cindy.